Send a movie idea.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My name is Joel Grove. And on the 5th of July, 2022, I discovered something that would tear the confectionery industry in half.
Stop this investigation. This isn't a thread that you should be pulling.
After further research, the only sign of him I can find is a 1996 point-and-click adventure game, Harry Boy's Quest.
Excuse me, ma'am. Have you seen the Haribo Boy?
I think I've been tailed.
In this series, we'll be asking, who disappeared? The Haribo Boy. Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple, John. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage, where it will be screened exclusively to teenagers in suits and sunglasses. There'll be a ban on anyone not wearing those things, frankly. We want gangs of tens of teenagers causing havoc at the screening of this film. I'm Joel, a man who puts the raver in Suella Braverman, and across from me is John Harris, Hertfordshire's last great love machine. Hello, John.
Ah, thank you. You threatened that you were going to be horrible to me this week, but then you...
I'm keeping you on your toes. There will be a week when I say something so awful you leave the Zoom and I never hear from you again.
Thank you. Just before we start, right... I'm going to give out certificates to listeners for okay. good
you're
being really, a good
you're,
listener.
You're such a fucking dad.
you can get a certificate from the Dream Factory if you tell your friends about it, mm-hmm. review it, and send us a movie idea. And if you do all three of them, I will send you a certificate which you can print, you can put up, you can frame, you
do
can put it on your CV.
Evidence?
Yeah, you need to provide evidence. I'm not going to be a real stickler for it. This is like one of those shops where it's like, you know, you just put money in the corner and everyone, yeah. honesty box. It's an honesty box of doing the things for the certificate.
Oh, great. I've done all those things. Will you send me a certificate?
Yeah, if you want.
Love one.
Shall I give you a movie idea?
Oh, please.
What about this one from Dan? Agatha Christie's Miss Marvel.
Very good. Very good. Because nice. They keep... Do you know what, John? Come a little bit closer because I don't want to upset the Marvel fans. They keep telling us that they're doing... genre movies in the Marvel universe, but they're not. They're making the same films, aren't they? They're like the whole thing before Doctor Strange was like, yeah, but it's a horror this time, guys. No, it wasn't. It was just another Marvel film.
Yeah,
but keep saying there's going to be a thriller. There's going to be this, that, or the other. They're not. They're all the same because ultimately a superhero has to fight someone in a city. It's always going to play out the same way. So,
but you would watch a murder mystery.
Yeah, of course I would. I'd watch like a procedural crime drama. I'd watch something where there wasn't a single punch thrown. I think it'd be really good and brave, and they should do that.
Well, you could do like Ms. Marvel, mm-hmm. Kamala Khan. She solves a murder mystery, and she gets them all in the room together, and she says it was you, and then that person suddenly becomes incredibly like big and blue, and they then have the big fight.
Or does Poirot join the Avengers?
That would be good.
It would be good, wouldn't it? They should just add someone really rogue every round to the Avengers. Go like properly cinematic universe. Just pull someone in from a completely different world.
Because I think there are certain mysteries within the Marvel universe that the superheroes sort of punch their way through. But if someone sort of just deciphered them early, then it would save a lot of destruction.
A lot of destruction, yeah. John, if you were called up to the Avengers, how long do you think you could blag it for until they realise you weren't a superhero?
It depends what the power is supposed to be. Mm. But, right, so if we're going back to... Right,
you get to decide. You introduce yourself and your power.
There is a character...
You're like, go on.
There is a character called... this is great. He's called Black Bolt because his full name is Blackagar Boltagon. and his power is that his voice basically... Mm-hmm. destroys like cities or you know and is it's like
that's,
if he says
that's
a single
a really
word,
good answer that's a really good answer because you just wouldn't say anything
exactly I just stand
you
around
just to write things on post-its
until like Captain America goes John we need you things have got so desperate we need you and then I go oh sorry just sort of
so I've got a bit of a sore throat
oh dear yeah that's so good. There you go that's how I'd blag it
that's really good
thank you
I would say I've got superhuman strength, and before getting there, I would get loads of things made out of polystyrene that look like real things, like cars and stuff like that. And I would just dot them around Avengers HQ. And I wouldn't draw attention to it, but I would casually, I'd pretend to drop like a pen, and then I'd lift the car up to get the pen from underneath it and stuff. That's what I'd do.
And... Like, Tony and Cap would be there, be going, he's clearly just a normal man and all those things are polystyrene. That car doesn't even have windows.
he hasn't even painted it. It's just white polystyrene.
But he makes a good breakfast, so we'll keep him around for a bit.
Yeah, and they bring me to, you know, the first fight and I die in 3 seconds. Just obliterated.
More normal people. We need more normal people in the Avengers.
We do. Just to... Because it gives context to how powerful they really are. It's hard to compare superhero versus superhero. But superhero versus a stupid normal guy like me, then you really know what you're dealing with. Hey, how about this idea from Elliot? Grouse Trap. A friendly animated bottle of whiskey tries to trap kids into alcoholism.
Wow, that's horrible.
It's quite horrible. Do they try and do that? You know how, like, supposedly candy cigarettes are the gateway to smoking?
Yeah.
Do they do that with booze?
Do you have...
A can of Shandy Bass.
Because in my head I was...
Those little pint glass sweets at the Pick a Mix.
Yeah, like, but you don't get... You get
Guinness cake.
Sweets, but yeah, well, like, true.
Guinness cake's the gateway to alcoholism.
That's too complicated for a kid to like, I think, a Guinness cake, right?
Yeah.
If you're a kid, you go, ugh.
Well, you know
nowadays,
about kids. Would you feed a candy cigarette to your child?
No, because that is a real choking hazard for a one-year-old.
Fair enough. What about if you crushed it up into a powder and let them snort it?
Oh, all over. Yeah, absolutely. I remember the chocolate cigarettes in France you'd get.
Yes.
Kid.
Yeah, but I assumed kids are just smoking in France.
And I think, could you get like, you could get like bubble gum in cigarettes. They basically put every sweet in cigarettes. It is sort of mad to think in hindsight.
In France, everything's cigarette shaped. You've got baguettes.
True.
That's the end of my joke, but it was good.
It was. The thing is, you said it like it was a list and that was where you went wrong.
Yeah, I
did. Yeah, but like you can still get sticks of generic white sweet in a packet, right? But it's not...
Does it still come with a tattoo? Because that's... What are they trying to make kids into? Tattoo with a pack of fake fags. It's crazy.
And a gun. A sweet gun.
Oh, I loved a sweet gun.
What's the film we're talking about?
It's an animated bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
Making kids
fine.
Alcoholics. What's your policy? I know you're only dealing with a one-year-old right now, but what's your policy? Do you think about things like, I wonder when my kid will first drink booze and whether I will be there?
No, I don't know, but there's always that moment as a toddler where they pick up a bottle of booze, don't they? And you take a photo and then you put it somewhere and you go, oh, started early.
That is good.
Everyone's got one. So I probably do that at some point.
Yeah.
No, I don't think about that. I don't think about when I'm going to introduce booze.
Did you never dab a little bit of brandy in your kid's mouth to help them sleep? I bet that's not done anymore, is it?
No, I'm fairly confident my mum has suggested that for illness already.
Of course.
Just a pint of whiskey. That'll sort him out. Right, so it's an animated anthropomorphized Pixar-style bottle getting kids into alcohol. I mean, there's literally nowhere we can go with this.
No, but you need a hero. You need a hero to destroy the bottle of whiskey, right?
Right. The grouse trap is a bad guy.
Yeah, of course.
It's a real grouse.
It's a real grouse that needs... The thing is, famous grouse has gone out of fashion. No one's drinking whiskey anymore. They're drinking the more fashionable spirits. Rum.
Yeah.
Gin. Pessoa. Campari. Midori.
There's a really fun sequence where you can sort of animate all these...
Yep.
These alcohols and what their temperaments would be like.
No one's drinking grouse anymore. And so they decide... the famous grouse himself decides to target the next generation of boozers. Children, they're the next generation of boozers. And who will fight it?
The hero is just sweets. It's a lesser of evils.
That. Yeah.
It's a lesser of evils.
Yeah, there you go. The hero is sweets.
What about this one from Theo? Starch Wars.
Okay. Can I confess something, John?
Yep.
I don't really know if I know what starch is.
Yeah, I had to Google it. So there's obviously you get starch to make shirts.
Anyone do that?
No, I think that's an old school thing, isn't it? To make a shirt a bit more tough and, you know, rigid.
Are you saying shirts are too soft? Have shirts got too soft? Is that why we're in this mess?
I think, yeah. I've been reading Piers Morgan and he's got a lot of thoughts about shirt softeners.
He starches his shirts.
Oh, yeah. He dips them in a big pool of starch. Starch is a carbohydrate that's found in most carbs.
Right. But so it's also a pasta shirt.
So I assume that they then somehow extract the essence of starch and put it into that liquid so that it makes clothes tough, right?
What do you mean tough?
Makes them more like rigid, doesn't it? Isn't that the point of starch?
What, so you walk around like a Lego man?
Sort of. It's like, isn't it like gelling your hair for shirts?
I don't think I've ever been around a starch shirt.
I feel like I'm really aging my mother here. I'm fairly confident that she's probably got a bottle of starch ready to go for shirts. Anyway, I think we go down the generic carbohydrate rule.
Okay.
It's a war between bread, pasta, rice. What's the last one? Potato.
The last one of the four starchy carbs. Yeah, that's good. If it's Star Wars, you need a Rebel Alliance. And who's the Empire out of those guys? I'm inclined to say potato. I don't know why.
I'm happy for potato to be the Empire. And I think bread should be the rebellion and rice and pasta sort of just watch. The thing is, right, potato, you got your mash, you got your chips, you got your jackies. You know, I think I can see them rocking a nice black suit, sort of being horrible and hoity-toity. Bread, you've got naan, you've got paratha, you've got non-Indian breads, you've got ciabatta, you've got focaccia, you've got non-Italian breads, you know.
John, I've got a confession to make. I haven't listened to you for the last minute because I've really been trying to make Chewbacca ciabatta work. It sort of works.
It does.
It's just a giant ciabatta, but he's got like a bullet thing around, which he never used.
Yeah, good point. What is that harness for?
They use laser guns, but it looks like ammo.
It's like sort of grenades.
Yeah. Maybe if you used them, Han Solo wouldn't have died.
Well, he has a crossbow in that film. He uses a crossbow a lot in that film. Maybe the crossbow. But
why
it's
is
a laser
there a crossbow in space?
Why is it a laser crossbow?
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. Why does it need to be a crossbow?
Just a gun again, guys.
Why do you need a laser crossbow?
Anyway.
How about this one from Lem? The sum of all peers. The whole film is Ben Affleck and Morgan Freeman counting how many friends they have.
So the issue with this one is that surely Morgan Freeman's got more friends than Ben Affleck.
Oh, do you think? No, because I think Ben Affleck plays the Hollywood game more. I think Morgan Freeman's probably got more true friends, close friends, best friends. But I reckon Ben Affleck, he's got a lot of hangers-on, people that would call themselves Ben Affleck's friend.
This absolutely is a Twitter poll. So once you've listened to this episode, head to our Twitter page. Head to our Twitter and Instagram to vote on the question, who has more friends, Piers Morgan? Piers Morgan?
No, I mean, he's lost. There's no way
Piers
he has a
Morgan,
friend.
Piers Morgan Freeman. There's a film in there next week. I'll be making that. Yeah, Morgan Freeman or Ben Affleck, who has more friends? Have a little think and then head on to our social pages and vote.
Yeah.
And prove you've done all those things to get the certificate I've made.
It's quite a fun idea, right? So they're just sat in a room, one-to-one, and maybe they're playing it. So the way they do it is like Ben says a friend, Morgan says a friend, and the first one to run out loses. And so you have a situation where it's like...
And if they both say the
guy
same
at school,
person...
Oh, that's good.
They take a shot.
You know, and so 100 in, they're really... Because they have to say the person, then justify how they're a friend. So, you know, you start off, obviously, Matt Damon... We wrote Good Will Hunting together. Morgan Freeman says, I don't know, someone super famous, my wife. And they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then by the end, you're like, well, there was that guy, James. We got on pretty well, I seem to remember, in October 1997. I'd watch it.
Yeah. Morgan Freeman calls the ref, and the ref calls up that James guy, and James goes, yeah, I'd consider us friends. And they go, all right, next round.
Well, yeah, fuck. We come again. That was good.
What about this one from Stu? Who shaved Roger's rarebits?
Ooh.
Rarebit is a
I don't like it when we get sandwich, into porn. Right? No, rarebit is cheese on toast.
Yes, sorry, apologies.
Welsh rarebit,
like a bechamel on toast. Yeah, like a bechamel.
When I was a kid, I just thought it was a weird way of saying rabbit.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever had it. It's like a mustardy bechamel on toast, isn't it? But like,
yeah.
It sounds way more interesting than that. No offence to the Welsh.
Welsh rarebit. Yeah, our national dish is rarebit. It sounds amazing. It sounds so exotic.
But then I would also say, look, I'll bring the French into this. I would also say croque monsieur sounds more exciting than toasting.
You're probably right. We're all just making toasties out here, John. At least the English have the fucking decency to call a toasty a toasty.
Yeah.
And isn't that what Brexit was all about?
I think so. Also, the fun thing about croque monsieur is it basically translates to Mr. Crunch. I'll have a Mr. Crunch, please.
Oh.
I'm very keen on the fact that candy floss is basically translates as daddy's beard. It's good, isn't it?
That's really sweet. I like that a lot. What were we talking about?
We were talking about shaving rare bits.
Rare bits.
Heston. Heston, like, it's a Heston level chef called Roger. And he has a restaurant called Roger's where his famous dish is hairy rarebit, right? And people can't believe it, but it is delicious, right? It is.
Well, the hair isn't hair. It's made of something else, right?
Exactly, right? Yeah. But it's what really elevates that dish. It's mm-hmm. what's put this restaurant on the map. And Roger's a bit of an arrogant guy, right? He's going around. He's mouthing off against your Hestons, your Kerridges. Yeah, Jamie Oliver's, he's going for everyone. He's hated in the chef industry. And the day before the Michelin people come to review it.
Yep. The Michelin
someone
man.
Someone shaves his rarebits. So they're just normal rarebit now.
That's
they're
so
not
good.
They're not impressive. No one's going to give him a Michelin star. And so he has to find out who shaved Roger's rarebits.
He needs to get the hair back and stick it on. That's brilliant.
Miss Marvel comes and solves the crime.
Very good. That's a lovely callback, John. Well done.
Thank you.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What about this one from Alex? West Side Tory, a musical with abhorrent characters moaning about their hedge funds. This is good, right? Because in the Tory leadership race, we will get down to two candidates. There will be two rival factions.
True.
Make it a musical. I'd be way more invested.
Very
true. If the hustings were, you had to sing every answer, that would be good, right?
Right. Who do we think can sing in the Tory party?
What a fucking brilliant question. Who can hold a tune?
Who's Rishi got pipes Tunak. On? Rishi Tunak.
That
yeah, I think he probably can
question.
Hold. I think he probably can hold a couple notes.
I actually happen to have an article that's got all the front runners open. We can go through and discuss them. Ben Wallace. Ben Wallace is blasting out Mustang Sally at a work do.
Yeah,
big
100%.
Time. Everyone, no one likes it, but he's the boss, so we let him do Mustang Sally. And the good thing about Ben Wallace is he turns up to the work do. No one likes him. There's an awkward atmosphere, but he will forget and leave his card behind the bar.
Oh. Which makes it all worthwhile.
Rishi Sunak's sort of 3'2", and so I think he has like he sings when he sings he sounds like the Chipmunks.
Yeah, I think he's got quite a sweet lilting voice, but yeah, quite high pitch.
Quite high chipmunky voice. So he just does covers, like the chipmunks, they do covers of pop songs, but in a high pitched voice. That's Rishi Sunak. Penny Mordaunt.
We're starting to get into levels of politics that I'm not sure about. So you're going to have to draw these characters out for me.
Well, let me tell you, John. Penny Mordaunt is the sort of person to sing Shakespeare's Sister, both parts, and really blast it out and really hog the mic. She's hogging them. She's a mic hogger. I'm going to surprise you here. Sajid Javid will do Wu-Tang Clan Ain't Nothing to Fuck With. It's a surprise.
Yeah. No one was expecting it.
He is big on the 90s New York hip-hop scene. He loves that stuff. He might do all the tracks at interludes from Illmatic. You just never know with Sajid. Yeah. Liz Truss. Liz Truss just says that bit in that Skepta song where it says, "Trust me, daddy." And thinking that has sort of turned my stomach. And I don't know who any of these guys are. Jeremy Hunt? Jeremy Hunt has never sung a single note in his entire life.
Oh, yeah.
He rejects music. If you ask Jeremy Hunt to name five bands, he would name the five salary bands in the NHS.
That's very good.
Thanks, man.
Rees-Mogg, I think, is sort of like a British Tom Waits.
Really? No, I think Rees-Mogg, I don't think Rees-Mogg has heard a song made after 1939.
Yeah, fine. He talks about that popular beat combo, and it's like...
Or imagine...
Gregorian chanting.
His fucking favourite song in the world is Grace Kelly by Mika.
I like
it. If you learn, I mean, he's obviously the worst man in the world. Well, he's one of a series of terrible men. But if you learn that every morning at the top of his voice, with a towel wrapped around him after the shower, he sang Grace Kelly by Mika, would that change your opinion of him?
Yeah, but it doesn't make me like him.
I'm not saying you have to like him. I'm just saying you have to respect him. No, I'm joking.
Now you're sounding like the Tory Party.
I'd have to go and sort of think about how I feel about everything if I learned that.
Right. I don't know where we're going with this. Should we do one more and then we'll do ours and then we'll call it a day?
Sounds good.
What about this one from Stu? Old. Some families get trapped on a beach where the longer they are there, the more difficult it becomes not to be Rickrolled while surfing the web.
Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. So every minute, more and more of the links they click become Rickrolls until the internet is just a Rickroll.
Yeah, and they sort of go swimming and they look at their partner and it's Rick Astley for a second and they're like, you know, rub their eyes and they're like... Yeah,
great. That's really good. That's really... They start seeing his face in the sand.
Yeah. You put like a shell to your ear to hear the sea and it goes, never gonna give...
would that be so sad?
Oh, you trying
to
say?
No, actually it wouldn't be, because eventually it's just you and your partner trying to have a conversation and all the people all you can hear is never going to give you up. Everything becomes, and I guess it reaches the point where every atom is Never Going to Give You Up by Rick Astley, right? So you can't tell where the sea stops and the sand starts because they're both Rick Astley.
Yeah,
you look down at your hand and it's Rick Astley's hand, although I'll be honest, if I looked at my hand, I wouldn't think that's Rick Astley's hand. I'm not even sure Rick Astley would, you know, out of context, would you recognize your own hand?
Oh,
look at your hand now. Hold your hand up like this. Yeah. Listener, hold your hand up, palm facing your face. If you removed all context and that was just a picture on a wall, I don't think I'd know it.
No, I barely knew ye. At the end of the film, when they think they've defeated whatever's causing all the Rickrolling, the couple sort of walk off into the distance and they have a conversation and it's normal and they're so relieved, right? But then you find out, like some geeks on the internet work out, that the final conversation they had was purely made up of words from the lyrics of Never Gonna Give You Up. So they're still in the spell.
Shit. This is brilliant.
Thank you. Thanks, Stu.
Hey, John, would you like some ideas from me?
Yes, please.
The Land Before Time.
The herb.
So it's like The Invention of Lying, but the main character is the only person who knows about the herb time.
If someone revealed to me that there had been a herb that I'd never tried and it was time, I'm not sure I could, much like my own hand, I'm not sure I could really pick time out.
He's just like, line up. He's just able to cook things in a slightly different way that really is of no consequence. No one's interested in the fact that this man knows about time. He cooks with it all the time and people aren't really registering it or noticing it. it's a sad existence. And it makes, John, the thing about it is it makes you question everything you thought you knew about herbs.
Mm. I think you'd have a harder, like,
what
sage,
recipes have thyme,
basil, rosemary, much more pungent, mint, yeah, all much more flavor.
Can you imagine, like, the taste of thyme?
No.
That sounds like a really deep philosophical question.
You're like, that sounds like something someone high would ask.
Yeah, so this guy, he's the only guy that knows about thyme and no one cares. It's just a fun pun, okay? I'm hungover.
What about this one from me? Reservoir Hogs. So it's Reservoir Dogs, but they're all pigs.
Great.
The sort of main reason I brought that one in is because this week, Quentin Tarantino revealed that
yes!
he's been watching Peppa Pig, and he thinks it's one of the greatest exports from the UK in the last 10 years.
Does he have kids?
Yeah, he has a child.
Okay, good.
But so as someone who also has a child, I would say you should check out Dougie because it's a much better British TV show. But,
well,
you know,
for Quentin, the in point is Peppa Pig, but he's got a lot of British telly to discover.
Mm.
So hopefully he's going to be watching.
I was going to say he's going to be watching Going Round the Twist before you know it, but Going Round the Twist is Australian.
It's very Australian. Hopefully he watches that one that only I remember where chocolate was outlawed, which I've mentioned on every previous podcast project we've ever done. No one remembers it. There was a fucking brilliant series on the BBC where, I guess it was like a metaphor for drug crime. They made, a new government came in and they made chocolate completely illegal. And it was about these kids who were making it in their basements and selling it. It was like a black market for chocolate. It was the best thing ever.
It's quite a, it's quite like a liberal sort of...
Yeah.
You know, that's...
It was sort of like a bit like Breaking Bad, but if instead of meth, he was making dairy milk.
But it's sort of saying that prohibition of things is bad in a way, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Which is interesting. It's an interesting take for like a kids' TV show to be going down. So fair play to them. Yeah, so Reservoir Hogs, they're all pigs. I don't know. They do the stuff, but they're pigs.
Well done. Well done, everyone. John, I think we had a clear winner this week, right?
I don't know because I was thinking about it, but I liked Who Shaved Roger's Rabbit.
Oh, maybe it was.
What were you thinking?
No, I think you might be right. God, the last minute there. A last minute
to the
goal.
Post.
Who Shaved Roger's Rabbits has won. Stick around. Oh, well done. Yeah, well done, John. But I'm going to say well done again in 5 seconds. Well done, John.
Thank you very much.
I think you did really
well.
I think you're very brave.
I know. Some of the stuff we said this week, controversial.
I think you're a very brave boy. I think you do brave things every day. I think you should be really proud of yourself.
Thank you so much. I have to make an apology to Stu, listener, friend of the show, Stu. So I claimed that Paul and Lee Cattermole were not cousins in last week's episode. I thought I'd done the research, but clearly I hadn't done enough research because it turns out that they are cousins.
Shit.
So S Club 7's Paul Cattermole is cousins with football hard man Sunderland. Is that right?
Yeah, he was at Sunderland. It's an interesting...
Yeah, Lee Cattermole.
It's quite interesting to sort of pose the question, if they swapped places, who would get on better with it? You know?
Paul is a footballer, I'd say. You think Lee's doing those dance moves and singing?
They're not complicated dance moves, John.
Wow.
You know, it's not Michael Jackson up there, is it? Good stuff. John, listeners to last week's episode, you might remember my trials and tribulations of going to Legs, Bums and Tums. You know, some will say by accident, some will say I actually secretly really wanted to go. This week, John, I went to a boxing class.
Oh, yeah? Which is what you sort of wanted to do last time when you went to Legs, Bums and Tums.
No, it was hit, John. That doesn't mean hit
apologies.
Each other. I hope
you
don't think hit
size.
Is boxing.
Anyway.
Well, maybe it was boxing size. I went to a boxing class and we all get paired off in the class. And I get put with this guy, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Steve's a man, I would say, in his 50s.
Great.
Full Cockney. You know, there's no external influence on how he speaks or behaves. He's total Cockney. He had huge arms and a bald, lovely bald head. And so the way it works is one of you holds the pads, one of you has the gloves, and you do like a routine. So it's like jab, jab, uppercut, hook, straight, straight. And then you do 5 squats, and then you go and go and go and go. And so we did that. He was hitting me so hard. And it only got harder after I told him I worked for The Guardian. And he was absolutely walloping me, right? And then when we swapped places and he was the holder of the pads and I had the gloves on, he was saying to me, go on, son, hit me harder.
Oh, my
days. Whole time. Oh, you're doing really well. Hit me. He just kept saying, hit me. Hit me harder. Like, there were points where I'm like, yes, Dad. Anyway, that was that. And then me and Steve.
And you knocked him out.
Killed Steve. We did a little fist bump at the end, and Steve said, well, cheers, mate. See you next time. And I think this could be the start of something beautiful.
I really liked
a man saying, hit me. Well, that's worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what that says about you, mate. So,
If any listeners want me to hit them, John will send you a certificate. I will meet you and I'll punch you in the face. If you do those three things that John said at the start of the show, I'll meet you anywhere, anytime, and I'll punch you in the face.
Lovely stuff.
I'll hold the certificate in front of your face and I'll punch through it into your face.
Well, that's destructive of my lovely hard work.
Well done, everyone. John, we made it through this. Listeners, I've been incredibly hungover and I've had not much sleep. So thanks for sticking with us. Next week, I'll be so fresh.
Oh, like a daisy.
Just you wait. Fresh as a daisy. Feeling crazy. Thanks, John.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.